There's something I reckon that would have put a smile on collections' faces is the increase in the spring prize money for this year. And also, one of the other things, reduction in fees for trainers. I mean, that's a nice combination. One goes up, the other comes down. Darren Pearce joining me now from the ATC. Good morning, Darren.
Hey, Cozzy, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. You almost must have a red outfit and a white beard on. That's what Santa Claus delivers, doesn't he? Hey, this sort of stuff.
I've certainly got the waistline for it.
Well, we won't throw stones in this area, don't worry. The Epsom is double, gone up $500,000.
Yeah, the Epsom's a great miler's race. If you look back at the history of it with horses like Superimpose, Volante, Shogun Lodge and others, you know, winning that race in previous years, it was hard to maintain that reputation at $500,000 prize money with such a strong, you know, competing program in Victoria. So to bring that race back up to where it should be and put it on the pedestal as one of Australia's greatest miles, we really wanted to put a focus on it on that Epsom Super Saturday at Royal Randwick. And it's got some mates this year with races like the Metropolitan going to 750 and the Premier Stakes going to 300. So that day's really pumped up. That's the spring feature at Royal Randwick, and we want to bring it back to its former glory.
Now, already we've seen reports where trainers like Chris Waller, for example, are now reassessing whether they'll go to Melbourne or instead stay for prize money like this in the Epsom over the mile.
Well, there's a great series leading into it. We've increased the prize money in, you know, races like the Chelmsford and the George Main, or indeed all our spring group ones have gone to $500,000, Cozzy. So, you know, if you've got a great miler, you know, coming through like Kermadec, and you know, his win in the Doncaster was sensational. He's obviously a three-year-old going on to be a four-year-old with tremendous promise. He could be a real hero horse for the spring. And that was exactly what we hoped to achieve by putting the prize money up, was to keep horses like Kermadec in Sydney for longer before they go to Melbourne for races like the Cox Plate, and hopefully we get there.
Darren, can you see the day? I mean, we've seen imports come out here to race in the carnival down in Melbourne. A few go around the Cox Plate, Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup, that sort of thing. When we start to put prize money like this on offer prior to that, I mean, by comparison to what they race for in the Northern Hemisphere, this is just like the big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Can you see them coming out earlier?
Yeah, I can. We actually had some inquiries from Japan if we would open the Sydney Quarantine Centre for the Japanese. They fell in love with Canterbury, and it would be easy to see why. You know, it's close to the city. It's got a very reliable first-class grass training surface when it's in quarantine mode. And it just wasn't right this year with the Kensington track out of play. You know, we didn't have the capacity to switch Canterbury off as tracks were recovering in spring. But in the future, you know, certainly demand there. We've already had the requests, and it's not too far-fetched to think that there could be internationals running in the Sydney spring as well as the Sydney autumn.
Well, I mean, if you've got a good gelding and you think we'll travel with him, why wouldn't you put it on the agenda? It's good prize money by comparison, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And once they've done the quarantine in Sydney, you know, they may even be able to go from Sydney to Melbourne. And I think that's what the Japanese were thinking. Yeah. They thought that Canterbury was a superior quarantine centre to what they have in Victoria. And they certainly were interested in that opportunity to start their spring in Sydney and head to Melbourne. So who knows, in future years that could become a reality.
Now, Darren, this, what you've done is totally different to politicians. When politicians whack a tax on and say, we'll remove it later, it never, ever comes off. And to have training fees actually reduced, I can't remember that happening for a long time, if ever.
Look, we're in an unusual situation in Sydney compared to a lot of the other states, that all the sort of metropolitan training centres are under one banner at the ATC. We've got between 1,600 and 1,700 horses in work every day. We obviously are connected to stables at all the centres, and the feedback we get from trainers, from owners, from, you know, the racing industry consultation group here in New South Wales is that the prize money is fantastic, but it only goes to the successful, and the costs of racing a horse have risen dramatically over the past 5 to 10 years, and really we need to start looking at cost relief, because if the costs are too high, people will drop out of the game, and we don't want that. We certainly want our field sizes to grow. We certainly want racing to be accessible to Sydney, and this was a first step of taking some pressure off the cost base of racing. Married that with some prize money increases to keep our spring competitive, and we hope it's only the start, Aussie. You know, we've been on a journey through merger and construction and sort of financial consolidation in selling assets to pay down debt, but we're now in a growth and investment phase. These are the sort of things that you can expect to see from the main turf club being announced, probably on a six-month rotational basis as our business model strengthens and we look to really grow Sydney Racing.
Well, you've been quoted as saying the improved revenue from the TV rights and the commercial operations is really going to benefit the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. We're, as I said, we've been on a journey and some of the early parts of the merger journey, we had to make hard decisions. We had to be, go through a period of austerity to pay down debt, but we're through that stage now and the stage that we're at is growth and investment. But even, you know, the whole culture of the organisation is changing. You know, we used to have monthly board meetings that were very much compliance focused, but now every second month our board just considers strategy and looks at investment opportunities. And, you know, that shows that the culture of the organisation is changing and Sydney Racing's in for an exciting time.
You've also been quoted as saying since the closure of TVN that's certainly improved the bottom line. By how much?
it's a little bit hard to give that away, Cozzy.
I'd like you to.
Obviously, is commercially in confidence. Provisions in those sort of agreements that we've signed off on, and it's not for me to break those contracts by speaking about the specifics.
Substantial amount?
It's a record deal for New South Wales Racing, and it certainly turned around our P&L for this year and in future years. So it's been part of the strengthening finances of the club, and part of that improved financial returns means we can invest in prize money and invest in racing assets and reducing costs.
Well, it's nice to see a double bugger there, Darren, with the prize money going up and that reduction in training fees too for the trainer. Steve McMahon for the Trainers Association, welcome to it. Every little bit helps and it all adds up.
It is. As I said, we're listening. We know that, you know, there is pressure on trainers to get owners and retain owners because of the ongoing cost. You know, the cost of acquiring a yearling is one factor, but the ongoing cost is another factor. And we want to do all we can to make it more affordable and hopefully more competitive to race in Sydney over time.
Terrific, Darren. Appreciate your time this morning as always, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Cozzy.
Thanks, Darren. Darren Pearce joining us there, Chief Executive of the ATC. At the 9:23 at Sky Sports Radio, KB Jennings, he's on fire at the moment. I'm just looking at his record here. He rode a winner at Randwick back in end of June. Then straight after that, saddle up at Rose Hill, got another one. He's been Kembla Grange. And yesterday at Warwick Farm, I think he had a mask on, and he stole one with Sweet Kiss, got to the front, and away he went. He just kept going. And KB's about to join me now on Sky Sports Radio. Are you there, KB? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Congratulations, mate. Yesterday, that was just brilliant.
Thank you.
Was that the plan when you went out?
Yeah, it was the plan to get out and get rolling along. Main thing was just to keep her happy.
So is that the sort of horse Sweet Kiss is? Just got to roll along?
Yeah, just let her roll along at her pace and keep her happy and nice rhythm.
Well, when you straightened, were you concerned at all? I mean, they were off the bit coming to the corner chasing.
No, I knew I had them all off the bit and chasing, and that was another part of the plan with the gap that I had between. It was just to keep the gap there, really.
And maintain, which you did. She never looked like stopping.
No, I was pretty confident coming to the corner, and she wasn't stopping much at all, and I had a look at the big screen and knew I had her covered.
Well, KB, you've been having a terrific run of late. I mentioned beforehand that I think you would probably go close to being one of the tallest jockeys riding at the moment. How tall are you?
Not exactly sure how tall I am, but I am up there with being one of the tallest. I'm up there alongside Ty Anglin and Hugh Bowman, but it's not too much of a disadvantage, but it's a different style that we bring out, but it works.
It certainly does. I think Ty's probably not far off 6 foot, is he?
No, I don't think so.
I'd like to see the two of you standing back to back and get the tape out. There wouldn't be much difference.
No, there wouldn't be much difference at all, really.
Now, KB, weight-wise, is it a battle for you, or have you got to the point now where things have stabilised a bit for you?
It is a battle, but I've been doing it for a while now, and I've sort of figured out what works and what doesn't work. It's it's a bit more of a battle with this cold weather around, but it'll turn around once the spring comes and the sun comes up.
How much would your weight vary over a year? I mean, from summertime to in the depths of winter, when it is more difficult for you?
It does vary quite a big amount. In the summer, there'll be some days where I don't even have to waste or sweat, but in the winter, it does involve a lot of wasting, really.
All right. What weight? What are you comfortable at riding at the moment? What sort of your declared weight?
My declared weight is 56 kilos. It's kind of just recently been put up by my boss. It'll come back down to 55 kilos in a few weeks to a month. And so today I'm riding 57 today at Wyong, but it's not much battle for me at all, really, today.
Now, KB, there'll be lots of ladies listening at the moment who struggle to get a few inches off the hips. Now, you are one of the guns at this. What would be the best diet tip you can give the girls at the moment who are trying to get ready to get a dress to fit?
Just the exercise, really. Keep the exercise up and keep the fitness going.
All right. Here we go, girls. Now, the fourth today at Wyong, you're riding over and back for Robert Pierce. What do you know about this horse?
I've ridden this horse a couple of times, track work. I know Bobby Pierce quite well, and he's got a fair bit of speed, but I think from that wide gate, I'll just take a sit and give him a bit of education as well. He's only a lightly raced horse.
He's only had the three runs. He hasn't been far off him in the three, though, and the last one was on the heavy.
Yeah, he's still got a bit of form, even though he's lightly raced. So pretty confident today going into the race from the wide gate. There'll be a bit of a racing pattern going on by race four and should go along with that.
All right, now you're riding one for Jason Coyle, Jenki Mucci, in race six. Its form doesn't look that flash on paper, but it only got beaten three lengths last start, and it showed pace.
He's been scratched out of the race.
Oh, he's been pulled out of there today. My shit to let him in. Right, and the seventh, you're on Hot Hit?
Hot Hit, yep. It's a good horse with good country form. I rode the horse before on a very heavy track at Wyong. Raced very well, ran second. They're going into the races confident today. With a good gate, it should run well.
All right, so which would be the pick of your two today?
Probably Hot Hit, because I've ridden him in a race before, and I liked him last start.
All right, well, that's what we'll hop onto, Hot Hit for today. Good luck, and so congratulations. It's been a great effort. I mean, really has to keep your weight and maintain it. And may the winners just keep coming for you. KB, good on you.
Thanks very much. Hopefully they keep coming, yeah.
Too right. KB Jennings there, a terrific effort. He's a very, very tall young man. But to maintain his weight and do it the way he does is an absolute credit to him. At 29 past 9 at Sky Sports Radio, always good to catch up with Gerald Ryan. He's got a nice stable full of horses. I might run through some of the ones he's got at the moment. Morning, Gerald. How are you?
Good, thanks, Sean. Good.
Now, Backman, we heard that Backman is off to, is it Hong Kong?
He's been vetted. They never go to Hong Kong until you get the money in the bank. They're so fussy, so you don't know.
Yeah, you're not too sure there.
No, like I said.
Yeah. Delayed.
Yeah, we'll take him. It's been 15 days and still no money, so I've seen that happen before.
Are they the most difficult to deal with?
I don't know.
Yeah. Just wait and see. Now, a few of your other nice horses. Musica, is it pronounced Musica, Oaks Filly? What's happening there?
Musica's been back probably 5 weeks. Comes in from a pre-training place tomorrow and just start her off and win a maiden first and see where she ends up.
All right. Perignon?
Yeah, she's the same. She's been back 5 weeks. Comes in tomorrow, done well, strengthened up heaps, going good. We'll probably be a bit later starting off. She probably won't be ready for the silver shadow of that and might end up in Melbourne. We'll just play it by ear and see how she's going at the time.
All right, another nice fastnet rock filly in Cartier Rock.
Yeah, she's been back a bit longer. She'll probably run first up in the silver shadow. Nice filly, one as a 2-year-old, which surprised me. The pedigree does usually win as 2-year-olds. But she's done well. She's matured into herself. She looks good. Probably 2 weeks off the trial.
All right. Now, fireworks look fantastic. Ran on the slipper and then you've turned it out?
Yeah, she was able to have 10 weeks out, so with the slipper being a couple of weeks earlier this time, she had, I think, 10 weeks out and it's grown and strengthened and got a lot stronger, and she's probably further advanced than any of the others, and she'll probably kick off in the silver shadow as well.
All right. Heading towards the spring, any new arrivals that we can keep an eye on, Gerald, apart from those?
No, not really. Sean just said that and a couple of colts and that have come along, and just whether they measure up or not remains to be seen. But sure, I mean, given a chance and given time to develop, and they show a promise, but they've got to do it on race day.
Oh, I think I saw the other day your mate Rubik has gone to stud.
Yeah, he's gone to stud, yeah. Yeah, he's got it. Stopped his book early, I think, because he got full up really quick, you know. If he doesn't make a stand, where you go here, you know, he had speed, he had looks, and he's got a pedigree, Page.
He was like the pizza with the lot, wasn't he?
Yeah, true. Not wrong there. You know, he's a lovely horse and fast horse and had a great nature and had great attributes, being a stand, that horse, yeah.
All right, now today at Wyong, you got a few in. You've got Beau Dragon going around in the third there today with Brenton Abdullah on. And close up its last couple?
Yeah, he's been a little disappointing. Probably hasn't delivered what he'd promised, but he's drawn a good gate today and we've put blinkers on him, and feels dropped away a little bit. So, the speed comes out of the race. We'd like to see him ridden with a sit, but we'll just see what happens as we go along. But, he's got ability to be very competitive in a race like that.
All right. Now, Badran is going around in the next race. It's had a couple of trials recently. It went all right. It's early prep there.
He's a nice horse, you know. I think he could win a nice race, that horse. He ran the races three times and struck three really good form races. You know, the horse beat him at Wyong first up and won the Ingalls Classic race at Rose Hill, and then we struck away at Allison at
Warwick Farm. Yeah.
We went to Newcastle and we struck the horse of O'Shea's to come and won the Swept of Essence. It starts form around him is very, very good. He's done well and he's a lovely horse by Bernardini, and he could win a nice race one day. I've got a lot of time for him.
Yeah, well, you gave him a good break. He's had two trials and it looks like just nice, lovely, quiet trials.
Yeah, they were quite. He's a bit inclined to want to have a race and be a bit keen, so just trolling twice quite to learn to relax and travel and finish off. And he's been going good, happy the way he's going, the way he's coming up. And, like a zero races around, or whether, you'd have a few clashing. Well, I thought, go to the Colton Dallin's Maiden, and he's been to Wyong before, and it's a nice track with one corner, so hopefully the rain stays away and see where we end up.
Now, you got a nice horse in on Saturday, a 2-year-old there, King's Troop, by Reduce Choice. It's trialled well, all three trials.
Yes. He sort of surprised me early the way he trialled, because he hadn't shown really that ability here at home.
Yeah.
But as he's gone along, he still doesn't show that ability in the track, but his trials have been very good when he jumps out of the gates, even in jump-outs. He really switches on, and not a very big horse, but he's a well-balanced horse and athletic horse, and he's got good speed and does everything right. He's going to help himself go a long way. And here at home and in the trials, he does appear to be able to work around, but if the rain happens, I don't know what we'll do, but he does appear to handle that track here at home.
I noticed his granddad produced Schnitzel and Hinchinbrook, so it's almost like old home week there for you.
Yeah, true. When I brought him, that's sort of probably what attracted me most to him. You'd swear he'd buy Schnitzel. He looks very much like a Schnitzel horse, But in saying that, Schnitzel probably looked like, he's a reduced choice. So he's a three-quarter brother to him, and but he's probably very much like him. Perhaps lacks a little bit of the strength, but he's very much like him, and he's got good speed. And I know when Schnitzel won the Breeders' Plate, he was 15-1, and I measured this horse the other day, and he's 15-1 now, but he's 6 months older. But he's not a big horse, but he goes quite well. It's been interesting to see him transform. He's trial form into race day.
Well, we'll look forward to it. I did detect a little bit of enthusiasm with Badran, though. The minute I mentioned the name there, your voice just lifted a bit.
Yeah, no, he's a nice horse, Sean, you know, and a bit of time for him. He's owned by Emirates, so maybe if I could get a nice horse for them. You know, they've been a good supporter of mine over the years, and we've only had horses who go through the grades and we'll win a couple of races and they meet their match, but... No, he's a nice horse. You'd like to get one that'd go a bit better for him, yeah.
I see. It's interesting. When you look through your horses and work, most of yours are Australian bred. Very few imports and not a lot of Kiwis.
Right, very few. We don't go to New Zealand sales a lot now. I haven't been over there since I bought a Dash and we'll be 8 or 9 year old now. But actually, it was a year EI was the last time I was in New Zealand. But I support the Australian sales, and when you go to the sales and everyone wants to buy Magic Means winner or Golden Slipper winner, well, yeah, you don't go there looking for stays for that. But I always say you buy a horse and hope it stays. So, but you're right, most of my horses are colonial bred horses and buy Hunter Valley stallions, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good to catch up as always, and we'll keep an eye on those babies. Good luck through the spring, too. The boost in prize money announced is a ripper with the Epsom doubled and that sort of stuff. And it's all good, Gerald.
Yeah, no, it's terrific. And it's good to see some of those listed races being left up to 50,000 because now you could run in a, say, a breeder's plate and get 60,000 for winning. You could run on a normal Saturday with this normal Saturday stakes plus your bobs, or you're getting more money for winning a ordinary race on a Saturday than what you were for winning a listed race, even though you've got the black type next to name. So it's just good to see those listed races lifted up a bit and come in line probably with the rest of with Melbourne, you know.
All right, terrific. Gerald, as always, we appreciate your time and good luck through the weekend.
Okay, no worries, Sean.
Thanks to you. Gerald Ryan, they're always good to catch up with him. And a nice team of horses there. 22-10 at Sky Sports Radio. Now, it's pouring at Randwick at the moment, so rain coming down there at Randwick right now. Now, we've got Scotty Seymour joining us. Scotty, of course, he knows a bit about the Melbourne Cup, Ethereal, Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup, Queensland Oaks. Fantastic year for him. And he's on tour with the Melbourne Cup at the moment and joins us now. Morning, Scott.
Morning, Sean.
How now, you are literally, you are like the Leyland brothers with this. You travel all over the countryside with the Melbourne Cup, don't you?
Yes, we have the last week. We've been to Mount Isa, Cloncurry and Boulia.
Now, I tell you what, you are hitting right out in the dusty centre of Australia, of Queensland, when you head out there. Boulia, there wouldn't be too many in the population of Boulia, would there?
No, there's only about 250 population of the town, but I reckon every single one of them, plus every tourist in the town, was there to have a look at the Cup, and they were very interested.
Scott, it's incredible the mystique about the Melbourne Cup, isn't it? The three-handled loving cup, as they call it, and people just love to be able to touch it, get a photo taken with it, have a look at it. There's just something about it.
There certainly is, and there's a lot of people thought that the cup was just a perpetual trophy, that it's been going around for years, but it gets made every year, and the ones that they actually take a photo of as we're touring around is the one that the owners on Melbourne Cup Day will receive, so they can take a picture of it with it, and when they watch the Melbourne Cup first Tuesday in November, they've had a hold of it before the actual owners. So that makes them feel a bit different as well.
Yeah, it certainly does. Now, I noticed they're looking at even visiting Sandakan and Borneo with the Cup.
Yes, they're going over to Malaysia. I think there's an anniversary of the Anzacs, or it just coincides with something like that. So they'd go to New Zealand as well, but they'd certainly do go to Malaysia.
Scott, you not only go to the towns, like as we mentioned, you know, Cloncurry, Boulia, Mount Isa, those places, but often you go to the schools as well. What's the reaction like on the face of the kids when they see the Melbourne Cup and you are a Melbourne Cup winning jockey?
That's probably one of the best things when you go to the schools. It was a little bit unfortunate the first couple of days with Mount Isa and Cloncurry that it was school holidays, but we arrived at Boulia. And the next morning was first day back at school, so we went to the Boulia Public School and... there's usually about 26 kids enrolled, but it was a little bit early for them, first day back, and there's only about half of them there, but it was fantastic. They really, really enjoyed it, and I'd say that's what the Melbourne Cup's for, to get out there for the next generation. With the world the way it's going, things are changing, there's so much to do. We just don't want the racing or the Melbourne Cup to be forgotten, so the schools are one of the, I think, one of the major things for kids to actually see the Cup, get interested, and as they grow up, they never forget the first Tuesday in November.
Now, you can correct me here if I'm wrong, but I think when you won the Cup in Ethereal, the next day, I reckon you turned up at a school somewhere, either for one of your own family or a relative, didn't you?
Certainly did. A couple of days later on the way home, my niece and nephew, I'm not exactly sure what school it was, but it was in the western part of Sydney, yeah, towards Penrith, somewhere out there. And we arrived at the school. We just rang the headmaster before we arrived and asked if it was okay. And there would have been 200 or 300 kids, and they really got a thrill out of it.
Yeah, because all of a sudden it's real.
It certainly is. And to actually see a trophy, like all kids, whether it be cricket, football, soccer, they love, you know, winning as a team and to get that trophy. But when they see the Melbourne Cup, it's so much bigger, it's so much golder than their normal trophies, and it's worth $175,000. So it's got a bit of value to it.
Now, Scott, there's a lot of young apprentices listening at the moment. How does it feel to be introduced for the rest of your life as Melbourne Cup-winning jockey Scott Seamer?
It really feels good. Like, when I won the race, I was a little bit older, so it was, I was used to the pressure. The excitement didn't worry me, but now that I look back on it and you do a tour like this to help the VRC promote Melbourne Cup, you feel so much, I don't know, proud because your name's down in history, and I really, really probably appreciate it more now than I did back then.
That spring really just gave you an enormous kick, didn't it? You were riding group winners left, right and centre after that, and riding in the group races.
Exactly right. So at the time, it was just, you know, it was just a ride that I was, you know, riding along with, so I never really got a chance to think much as just do what I do best and, you know, go from there.
Now, Scott, have we still got the avocado farm?
No, we got rid of it. We had macadamia nuts. No, we don't do anything like that anymore. We've got my wife and I breed. Probably got about a dozen mares. We've got eight mares ready to foal this year. So when Joe McGrath from the VRC rang to ask me whether I could help out, and I said if it was in the first couple of legs, I'll be fine. But come the middle of August, my wife and I will be foaling down mares.
Now, finally, as we leave you, as I said, a lot of young apprentices listening, from a Caulfield Melbourne Cup winning jockey, what's the best bit of advice you can give a young apprentice who's coming through at the moment?
Head down, ass up and work. They say it's all about luck, but the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Beautifully put. Scott, great to catch up with you. And congratulations on your involvement still and for helping out with the Melbourne Cup tour. Look forward to seeing you.
Thanks very much, Sean.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Seamer there. And it is 17 to 10. This is Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats.
GWS Giants vice captain Tom Scully on Leon Cameron.
Tell you what is a good sign, when the coach gets signed on for another few years. And Leon's got a contract now to the end of 2018, mate, which says he's a very good coach and things are going well there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Leon's done a fantastic job ever since he's sort of taken over, and it's a great indicator that, you know, see, Leon's got the group in a really good place with a number of our players re-signing, and it's just a great feel around the club at the moment.
The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats. Weekday mornings from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Brought to you by TAB.
You know, the ROI on your marketing, it will sound a whole lot better when you add radio.